Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Cold Current voice of your local announcer, letting you know that your night tonight is going to be the coldest one we've had so far this year. And in a couple days later, they're talking about temperatures in the 20s.
Oh, gosh.
That came on faster than I wanted to see.
It's hot chocolate time.
Well, that takes care of everything, doesn't it?
For me, it does.
The voice you just heard was that of Marianne.
Hi.
Who is the co-host of our show, The Food Show, which just started just now. So you haven't missed anything lately. We talk about food, eating, restaurants, cooking, wine, all that. Hey, how would you like a little menu from Shaya, a restaurant that everybody seems to love?
Thank you.
Boing, there it is.
I just had the best lunch.
Tell me. Oh, where'd you have it? I want one, too.
Yeah. Well, you were busy.
I was?
Yeah.
How did
Cochon?
Oh, you went there for lunch?
Haven't been to Cochon in so long. We were going to go to Butcher.
Yeah.
But the line at Butcher was mind-boggling. And once you got your order in,
yeah,
an extensive amount of hovering was required to get the few tables that were there.
It's amazing, isn't it?
And the music was so loud, and I finally said, forget it. We're going over to Cochon. And so we did. And it's been so long since I've been to Cochon. I didn't even know they had that second room on the other street, which is a gorgeous room with exposed brick and a lot of light. Oh, it's beautiful. Anyway, Aaron Sanchez was there being tapped on the shoulder by countless people to get up and take a picture with them. He was very gracious, very, very gracious. Anyway, the food was delicious. It inspired me to ask a question. Name some places that you would go just for the bread. Now, I have said a million times that I don't eat bread unless it clears a certain threshold. And oddly enough, there is a kind of bread that I do like and will try when I see it. And it's very atypical of the kind of bread that I like, which is like Bellegarde, where you really have to, and use your teeth. So these Parker House rolls that we had out of the package for Thanksgiving when I was growing up, I've seen them, at the Parker House, and I've seen them at Brennan's, where they're excellent, but they're also at Cochon. And I could tell as soon as they arrived at the table that it was going to be bad.
It was going to be bad.
It was going to be bad for me.
Bad.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was going to dive in head first and eat the whole thing. And they were light and fluffy, and they had a little mound of top, and they were shiny from, I guess, maybe egg or something that makes it shiny and crispy on the top.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. They were incredible. And I did, in fact, eat all of them. And I had a few more, too.
Huh.
But I thought about this coming over
because
I did make sure that I walked back. It was Cochon.
Oh, I see.
And I thought it would be kind of a problem to be there today because they're heavily involved in the Boudin and Beer Festival. But, everything was fine. It was packed. And it was delicious. And I've never... I just thought of it as kind of a touristy place, but I absolutely loved it. And I was just wondering, does anyone else have a place or a couple of places where you would go and you would go just for the bread? That's how good the bread is. Commander's Palace, this place, Cochon.
Mm-hmm.
Justine, because it's Bellegarde Epi Breads. Let's go to Keith.
Impastados.
Oh, Impastados. Hey, I forgot about Impastados. Yeah. Keith.
Keith, yeah. Welcome. Come on in.
Yeah. Hi there. I have an idea for a cookbook for Tom.
Cookbook for Tom?
Yeah, for Tom to write.
Fire away.
How about New Orleans holidays?
New
Orleans dishes that are cooked only one time a year during the holidays.
Mm. Well, now, what would be in that book? You must have something in mind.
Okay. Well, one thing that
just... Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's.
They all
have different dishes.
Yeah.
And what would those be?
Okay, things like oyster artichoke soup.
Oyster dressing, maybe, huh?
Oyster dressing. You don't find a recipe. You don't find a cookbook like that.
Yeah.
Jambalaya.
Now, do you eat jambalaya at holidays, Keith?
No, not really.
Yeah. Okay.
On New Year's, you could cook black-eyed peas, cabbage rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Just an idea.
It's a good idea. I'm just wondering what your own personal tastes are and what inspired you to make that suggestion.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea because there are certain things that you only eat at a certain time of year or when the weather is a certain way. And then you never see it the rest of the year, which is, unless I misunderstood what you were saying here.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
But you would cook a full spread for Thanksgiving, a full spread for Christmas, a lot of your dips. You know, some people do a spread instead of a formal Christmas dinner.
That's basically what we do at our house.
What the typical New Orleans family does for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you do for Christmas, Keith?
We put on a spread.
Yeah, but I mean, like, what's the main meat?
Ham.
Ham, okay.
And turkey sometimes.
Ham and turkey, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have this fantasy in the Fitzmaurice house where we're going to do a grand English-style roast prime rib for Christmas with popovers. No. What is the pudding?
Popovers.
What's it called? What's their pudding called?
I know what you're talking about.
I mean, it is a popover. The pudding is a popover.
Yorkshire
pudding. Thank you very much.
Right.
Keith's screaming at me, and I'm not even listening to him. Yorkshire pudding. You are absolutely correct. Thank you, Keith. Yes, and what? It hurts, Doug. Anyway, Yorkshire pudding. Have you ever tried to make Yorkshire pudding, Keith?
No, I ate it before, but no, I never tried that.
Yeah, it's basically a popover.
It's like a Gruyere.
With juices from a roast.
It's a Gruyere without cheese. Because it's one of those things where it's got like a shell to it and then nothing inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like an eclair.
I do eclair.
I think it's pâté de choux. I think that's what it is. That kind of pastry. Anyway, that's a good idea, Keith. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
What exactly is a club sandwich? You refer to it on your show all the time, but I don't know what it is.
You got lucky in calling at exactly the time where the person I know who is closest to
club
sandwiches,
yes,
is actually sitting there. So, Marianne.
Okay, a club sandwich, in
Marianne,
my opinion, and I'm not James Beard who likes it the classic way, which is actually chicken. But
that's what he said.
If I go out looking for a club sandwich, I am looking for the following things. I am looking for 3 slices of wheat toast. Actually, I would prefer sourdough toast, but you don't usually see that.
Sourdough toast is not something you see very often.
Right, not around here.
Yeah.
So 3 slices of that. And between those slices, I would expect to see thinly sliced ham, thinly sliced turkey, and Swiss cheese, and thick, smoky bacon.
Bacon.
Wow.
Also lettuce, tomato, and a little mayo. Mm. And then you put that sandwich together, and then you make another whole round of that for the second tier. So this is double tiered like that. And then you take your hand and you put it on top of that pile of deliciousness, and carefully, not slicing your hands, you cut it into quarters.
Oh, don't see if you can avoid that.
You cut it into quarters diagonally, and then you turn that sandwich, stand it up with the point facing you.
Okay.
That's a club sandwich.
I was just curious, and I'm sure other people are just as curious.
Well, there's one other thing that we haven't mentioned, and that is in order to get a good club sandwich, you must be a member of the club. Boy, you know.
Hopefully the first requirement is being able to say club.
You have to be conscious.
If you are looking for this sandwich, my favorite in town is Porter and Luke, although they do serve it with a honey mustard, which is not my thing. I ask them to swap it out for mayo. And Martin's Wine Cellar has another very classic one. You'd have to ask for the Executive Club.
The Executive
Those are my
Club.
Current two favorites.
Let's check the menu and see if it's on there. I've got the whole menu here.
Yeah, Francesca also has a good one, but I would rate those exactly as I said them. And that's it.
Thank you so much.
All right. You take care, Keith.
Thanks for calling.
260-6368 on this Friday afternoon.
Now, you'll get right in. And it's kind of murky out there.
No, it's grim. It's grim.
You know that story told it several times lately.
Gloomy.
About the fact that I was working downtown, not too far away from where we're sitting right now.
Oh, wait, are we going to the Bon Ton tonight?
We're going to the Bon Ton.
and I walked into
the Bon Ton, and it was so murky and cold outside, and windows open, and pieces of trash blowing around. And I thought,
lovely.
This is about the last thing that would make you feel happy. And it just shifted all around. And now every year at this time, this would be the perfect
time. This
is
the time. Okay.
And it's
not really cold, although it's going to be
it's windy and it's cold
tonight for the Boudin and Beer people. It's going to be really cold.
That is right. Yep.
But 70 chefs outdoing each other with their take on Boudin.
That's how many they're getting this year? That's unbelievable.
And I'm not talking about people you've never heard of. I'm talking about the creme de la creme. Of town, in town, and also out of town. They've got about 7 or 8 from the Gulf Coast, because, I mean, Emeril lives there now, so Gulf Coast. And you know who's here, Tom? Jimmy Bannon from Heaven on 7.
Yeah, I was
I mean, he doesn't live here, but he's here for that. He's got an entry, yes, in that.
Yeah, is he still running that place in Chicago?
Apparently, because it said Heaven on 7 in the list. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, good stuff tonight. If you are liking that Boudin, and who doesn't, if you're from
That'll
here.
That'll warm you up.
And, so we went to, that put me in the mood to go to Cochon. And we had, I'll go through this a little bit later. Let me throw out a couple of questions.
Yeah,
though,
go
Because we're
going
to take a break in a few minutes. But the bread, which is something that I never eat. The bread was so appealing. I'm not even going to say what I ate of the bread. And it reminded me of breads that were so good, I would just eat the bread at a restaurant. And I'm wondering if you have any restaurants like that where, you know, if you are a discriminating bread eater and you find something that's really spectacularly good, where is that? I want to know. And do you ever see yourself like thinking, well, you know, I could just eat the bread here. Commander's Palace, garlic bread.
Wonderful.
Impastados.
I can't
believe I forgot impastados. That little loaf of Italian bread is fantastic.
And it's a little bakery that hardly anybody knows about in Metairie.
Yeah.
Because you have to go looking for it, and they only work in the early part of the year of the day, and then they shut down at noon.
Don't even think about showing up at 12:01.
That bread is so fantastic.
It is incredibly good, and you can get it as a whole Italian loaf. I used to do that when the kids came in from Georgetown Prep, and I used to feed them because they came to work on rebuilding the city, and I had. Instead of little mini muffaladas, which got to be really expensive, I would take those Italian rolls and just do one big muffalada, which is actually a great thing
a
if
concept.
You're entertaining people for, you know, like a football party or something. That's a great thing to do. Just get that loaf and toast it and then load it up with all the muffaletta stuff and then slice it into 2-inch fingers. That works very, very well. Anyway, bread around town. Where's the good stuff? This was spectacularly good. Spectacularly good.
Yeah.
I would go there just for the bread, although there's plenty of other great stuff to be had. And I'll talk about that when we come back. 260-6368 WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
Hi there. Welcome back. You have somehow stumbled into the food show.
Gosh, I hope they haven't stumbled.
Well, I mean, sometimes they stumble, but they don't hit anything. So
I like
okay.
to flatter myself and think that they came willingly of their own accord to listen to us blather about food.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are worse things you could do, especially on a chilly day.
I know Doug has gotten into it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm looking past you, Doug. I mean, Tom.
You are?
I'm looking over your shoulder out the window at this gloomy, gloomy day and see that there's a Norwegian getaway, a gigantic vessel.
I didn't even know
they were in town.
I didn't either. But I don't think it'll fit underneath the bridge.
I didn't even look at that. And
just
they're not going that way anyway. That would be going upriver to Baton Rouge. But
they get very close though.
But well, they flip around, but that is a really enormous ship.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll have to ask Deb, our travel agent, what the story is on the Norwegian getaway because they must be new to town. I mean, I knew we had Norwegian ships here, but I've never heard of that one. Unless I've just left the cruise world forever and have not paid a whole lot of attention
tisk,
to
tisk.
It since.
Oh, well, you know, these
since
things
our
happen.
Last cruise to New England. 260-6368. So the question was, my question anyway, which is there a restaurant in town whose bread is so good that you would go just for that? I'm going to add another one to that. Windsor Court at lunch, those little cheese and herb biscuits are good enough to do that. Just
those are
to go
good.
There for that. So that's it. That's my only list. I've got the Epi breads from Justine, these breads at Cochon. Brennan's has another version of them, but they're not as flaky on the top. And then Commander's Palace, which has its incredible garlic bread, and Impastados with their little rolls, which if you love those rolls, you can get them at Angelo's Bakery until noon, Monday through Friday. And you have to go all the way out to Kenna. You have to go to Elise.
That's where it is.
Who is sneezing that I can hear from here?
Oh, that was
no,
still,
I think it's like down on the street where they're working.
It's leftover from the last time I sneezed.
It's reverberating back. Anyway, you can go to the Domino's Pizza at the corner of Elise and West Metairie.
I was about to say that because...
Yeah, that would be the landmark.
You could call pizza a bread. It's more bread
than
anything else.
Yeah, you definitely can. But if you wanted to go get those Impastato breads at Angelo's, they will sell them to you individually. But you have to get there before noon, and you go out to Kenner to West Metairie. And
at Elise.
Yeah, at Elise. All the way in the back of the shopping center. 260-6368. Tom, it is National Cappuccino Day, and I know how love that. Now, it shouldn't be National Cappuccino Day because we're not even – cappuccino isn't even American.
No.
Maybe
but,
it's maybe
so
it's
what?
International Cappuccino Day. I'll have to look that up.
Well, I guess that's what –
It's what?
A national Harvey Wallbanger Day,
okay.
Yeah, according to Doug.
Yes. Well, okay.
Well, you know, that's good. I remember when those first came out, when I was in college, I think just about everybody who drank those things was in college.
Weren't they kind of like orange or something? Were they orange? Is it orange juice? What was it?
I don't remember what goes into them. Anybody
Doug
know?
Doug probably knows. Doug, what was in a Harvey Wallbanger? Doug is kind of, what? Thank you, Doug. Mm. Thank you so much. He said booze. Oh. Doug is like the Wizard of Oz, you know?
Is that it?
Whenever we need an answer like that, we just go to him and he's
cross
behind.
Our fingers. And
No, he always is there. He's like the Wizard of Oz. He's always there till you see behind the curtain and then, anyway. 260-6368. So cappuccino, you love cappuccino.
Yes.
Now, do you like cappuccino more than espresso, or do you like espresso more than cappuccino?
Well, First,
What's the difference anyway?
Notice that a cappuccino is kind of like the outermost construction of this thing. The first one is a the first one you make a
cappuccino.
Espresso.
Espresso. Okay.
It's just espresso. It's that coffee made with a lot of steam, and it's a lot of
So it's got the foam.
It has not really, not really.
No, I think it's the other one that has the foam, right? No,
It's pretty much all it is.
The espresso is like a shot of black coffee.
That's
isn't
what
it?
That's its function. It you would people who were working instead of having them get off the place where they're working and having a sit down and to drink their coffee, they would you would just people would just walk over to where that happened. They'd pick up the little cup, bang, and it's get back to work.
Okay.
And I mean, really, that's the whole story behind it. But there were some people who really liked it, so they steam in either cream or milk or nothing at all. But that's the least interesting in that last one. And then you wind up with something that's you got an interest in it. That's the foamy part of it. The actual.
How many of those? What's your limit of those? Because I know after a while you say, oh, I've had enough of those.
Yeah, I mean, they're alcohol. Wait, they don't have alcohol at all.
Caffeine.
The caffeine,
super caffeine
part of it. It slams into you, and it just after, 15 minutes, I feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But okay. Then again, I'm a weem. Yeah. So,
well, for once, you said it instead of me.
Yeah, well, I got to go with
you. You're just jumping the gun. You're just trying to get ahead of me on it?
No.
On saying that?
No.
Yeah. All right. So what's on that list? It looks like you have something there, Tom, that you've been
things.
Anxiously wanting to talk about. Go ahead.
Oh, I don't really have anything like that. And cappuccino was on the list because it was on our other list. And if you want to know where our other list is, here's how you get there. Go to nomenu.com. Just click it on your computer, and there it is. We put different things there every day.
You know, we were talking yesterday to Tim.
Tim?
Of Timely. Tim of Timely.
Yeah, oh, I remember that
coming
up.
And you guys
up.
Were talking briefly about his traversing the bourbon country of Kentucky. And you were so, so thrilled to be able to declare yet again that you're a Kentucky colonel. But
I'm a
today,
Kentucky, yeah.
But, mm-hmm. but it's funny that you were talking about that yesterday because today in your almanac, mm-hmm. in 1789, it's the day that a Baptist minister named Elijah Craig distilled the first whiskey made from corn mash. This was in Bourbon County, Kentucky.
Hmm.
He's a businessman. It is not known really what year he started his distillery, let alone the day. But the date is traditional as the birthday of bourbon. Oh, do you think that's why they have the Bourbon and Boudin and Beer Festival?
I don't know. Let me call somebody.
It's funny because it would be,
hey,
you know, exactly on the day. And I'm sure that it hasn't. I'm sure it hasn't.
Everybody knows that. I don't know about that.
Oh, that's not that Nigel Creighton, is it?
Nigel?
Yeah.
Nigel the bartender?
I thought I heard.
You wouldn't believe how many people have asked me to go find where he
Nigel
is.
Has.
Nigel the.
Well, my vote is for Wentworth Brewster.
Wentworth Brewster is
Wentworth
also
Brewster
out there somewhere.
Brewster was much funnier. Also, today you have in your edible dictionary a Rainier cherry.
Yeah, it's a very different kind of a cherry than what you will see around here. They're bigger.
They're delicioso.
And they're very dark in color.
Actually, they're kind of yellowish, aren't they?
Yellowish? Oh, I
they're
know.
They're yellowish and pinkish.
I'm confusing two things here.
Yeah,
you're
the Rainier cherry
right.
is pink and yellow.
But the black one is the one you put in a Manhattan.
Yeah, well, that's an Italian thing. But I remember visiting my sister in Seattle in June, as in late June, almost July.
Yeah.
And we went to Mount Rainier where the snow was still several feet deep. And it was so weird to be in the middle of the summer, like right as we turned the corner on July. And have it. Actually, it might have been in July because I think we were there for 4th of July. But to go up there to Mount Rainier and see the snow. And Rainier cherries were everywhere. Absolutely everywhere at the roadside stands. They are delish.
Mm-hmm.
Really delish. Mm. And of course, when I came home, I had a whole bunch of them. And I don't know what it is with me with fruit. I don't eat fruit. I don't eat fruit
at all.
It was really great to have the Rainier cherries, and we just were eating them while we were driving along, and there wasn't any effort required except to open your mouth and spit out the seed. But I don't know. Now we did crack open the first of the harvest of the Satsumas yesterday.
You beat me to it, and of course it doesn't really relate to what we were talking about. But yesterday, after watching it for really the 8 months or thereabouts, the first Satsumas came off of our bush. Now this is kind of a joke because there's a total of 9.
Well, now there's only
cappuccino,
six.
I'm sorry, nine.
There's only six now because ate three of them because we have to because they've been there so long they're starting to shrivel, which is sad.
I don't know. The ones I picked up were just right, and they were still a little on the green side, on the inside, which it really ought to get
a little. They were delicious.
But I could not believe how good they were.
Satsumas
now, I know that this was totally on the up and up because it was still there on the little. You couldn't call it a bush. It was
a tree.
No. It was much smaller than a tree.
It's like a baby.
Like a baby tree. But if you took a bite of it, you would say, this must be one of the selected ones over here in this bag that you got from wherever.
Yeah, and it was really good.
But it wasn't.
The tree was working so hard to keep itself
going. It's pretty happy because I didn't see anything out of whack.
I wish we had planned more of those because then we wouldn't have to go get bags and bags of them. But, I mean, it is right where the cars pass, so I guess,
Well, the main part of this message is if you like Satsumas or any kind of citrus fruits that you have a taste for, but especially Satsumas. Eat all you can right now. You will not believe how good it is. It is it's juicy.
Nature's candy.
Not just juicy.
It's really
almost sticky from the sugar content of it. And you know it's perfectly all right because you just cut it off of a sprig of a bush.
It's absolutely delish.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to finish back to Rainier cherry. You say that a variety of cherry grown mostly in Washington State, correct? The Rainier was developed in 1952 by Harry Vogel. It's pale red and yellow and is known for its sweetness. It's one of the sweetest cherries in the market, but it doesn't travel especially well. We will be seeing it in markets in June if they get
here.
It's well enough liked that it has its own day of celebration, July 11th. They are much loved in Japan, where it is said they can sell for $1 each. A cherry, one cherry? Wow. That's kind of wow is all I can say. All right. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
Hello. It's The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. It's nice to be here with you and also with Marianne.
Hi.
Hi. Are you directing that at
TGIF.
Me or have some? You have someone else working?
Usually I'm directing most things that I say to the listeners.
Mm. Well, I'm glad we got that straight. Let's see. There was something I wanted to talk about today, and it just completely eludes me.
Okay, so we're done with cappuccino because I thought cappuccino was something you really, really loved.
No,
and
I really
do. A lot
do.
More to say about
here,
that.
Here's the whole story behind that. I was with a bunch of Italian-American restaurateurs, and they were doing a tour in the farthest eastern...
Not Puglia, no.
In the Veneto. No, it wasn't that high up. It wasn't far away.
Friuli?
Friuli, that's where we were.
Okay, all right.
In Friuli. And we did all kinds of neat things there. It was really a great area. But they
was
had
that your first trip abroad, Tom?
No.
It wasn't?
No. where do you... Does Canada count? And how about New York? And
No. I'm talking about across the pond.
Let's see. No. I had been to Finland.
Oh, so the Finland trip was the first one?
It was two trips jammed together.
Right, I know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How'd you know that?
In the good old days. Because I'm your wife.
Oh.
260.
Imagine that.
6368.
No, let me finish this story.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
So we were in that part of the country, And one of the things that they did around there, especially near the country or the city of
Friuli?
Not Friuli. Okay. Yeah, I just said the word a minute ago, and it's
yeah. Well, just keep going. It doesn't. It's not really all that relevant. Keep going.
No.
No, I'm just saying the city isn't important. Go ahead and say what you're going to say.
I had lunch with the man who was the top executive of one of the major coffee makers
is it Ely?
It wasn't them, but
that's
it was somebody
French,
very close to that. And they this.
Oh, what's that? Italian one.
Well, they all were very Italian, but in the northeast part of the country.
I'm trying to think of what that is.
And I wound up having lunch with this guy who was the mm-hmm. chairman of the board of the outfit. And he said he disapproved of the way I was drinking
cappuccino or espresso.
Okay. Anything. He said, he told me, you know, here in Italy, we don't put anything like lemon in there like some people do, I see, in your country.
Really? They do? I mean,
they don't.
We do that in this country?
Sure,
we'll put lemon in coffee?
Just the rind, not the juice.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, you see that. Not too much anymore. Now that I'm telling you about it, I realize I have not seen that in a good
That's
while.
That's really weird, I think.
Yeah, it is. Well, this president guy told
okay.
me,
uh-huh.
well, you know, that was there for the days after the war, and everybody was, you know, doing all they could just to gather together
the
basics.
What's the name of that little machine that you can get that's Italian?
Which one?
I don't know.
What does it do?
No, it's a cappuccino machine. Anyway.
Well, anyway, we talked about all the kinds of espressos and or just coffees in general, and he really, as you might imagine, he really knew his stuff.
Uh-huh.
But it was interesting to hear some of the
an Italian talk about actual Italian coffee.
Yeah, and he said, and
funny,
I said,
they don't want to copy our coffee. Why?
In America, who do you think uses the greatest amount of sugar?
In America?
Yeah, for espresso and all of that.
I would think everyone.
Everyone. You would think so, and you'd be right, because
of course. We use a lot of sugar in everything.
In
here.
Italy, they put a big spoonful of sugar or whatever it is in there, and it's and you think, oh, no, this is one of the things where you would drink it totally dry.
Really?
Not.
Well, I would think that you would have to sweeten it with something, because I would imagine it's really bitter.
It's,
I mean, it just looks bitter to me.
But anyway, I had not had a taste for all of those kinds of coffees, and I'd never really ordered them. And
must have been kind of eye opening for you. What was it like when you first had that? Because that was
it was when I was having
32 years ago, and you were 36, I think,
like
at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So you had not had Italian coffee at that
well,
point?
Well, I'd had it, but I didn't care much about it. And most of the very few restaurants that had the machine, they would make jokes about it.
Yeah.
The best one being, well, never mind.
No, I know, good.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I can do it if you can't finish it. But
it's
what does cappuccino mean in Italian?
In Italian, right, it means out of order.
Yeah.
because they seem like they always were. I remember.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's probably because it was in the early days of importing them. I'm sure it's improved a lot.
Oh, it's now it's everywhere you go.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure.
You can't avoid it anywhere.
Yeah. All right, 260-6368 is the number. Are you going to the Boudin beer and
bourbon?
Thank you. Bourbon, Boudin, and beer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's all of a sudden, it just hit me like a light bulb. Maybe the reason it's at this time of year is that, now, obviously, it's falling on the exact day today, but it was probably originated at this time of year because that's when bourbon started.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense, but it's really about the Boudin. I got to tell you, I saw that menu, and it's really about the Boudin.
Yeah, once you get a taste for that, you'll never stop. You just keep eating it.
Excuse me, 260-6368 is the number. Now, what else is happening today in deliciousness? Let's see. I'm sorry, I have to cough. Go ahead, Tom.
No, go ahead. No, just to finish off this this business about coffees. While I was talking to this guy who was the chairman of the board of et cetera, which we've already explained, for the first time in my life, I developed a taste for espresso. And I love it ever since. Bang. And yeah. It's,
what does cappuccino have to do with Capuchin monks, which are disgusting, by the way?
The coffee itself is named, the color of it names is named after the
decaying bodies.
Not decaying bodies. No, they were, well, there was a lot of that going on, but the people themselves.
There's still a lot of that going on.
Yeah. Well, especially
when we were in Palermo.
In Palermo, I was about to say that.
We went to that place where you could go into one of those places.
For a long way and be creeped out like nothing you've ever seen.
Yeah. But you know what talked me out of going in? The smell. It was gross.
Let's not talk about it.
Yeah.
That.
I could certainly not
I mean,
on
there
a
are
food
certain
show.
Things that don't need
certainly
really
not on a food show.
Too much elucidation.
Yes, that is for sure.
Yeah.
The old kitchen sage says, just as
the old
it is
kitchen
true
sage
with wine,
is saying
a coffee
something?
Blended from several kinds of beans will always have more interesting flavors than all in one kind. That makes sense.
Yeah,
like
I think that's
else,
absolutely
I think
true.
It makes sense. I don't know if I've ever looked into that with regard to chocolate, which I kind of think of in the same vein as coffee.
Cocktails, more than anything else.
What?
There's thousands
blended?
Of cocktails.
Well, I mean, anytime you make something a little more complex, it's going to be more interesting. I mean, that stands to reason with just about anything, actually. Anyway, 260-6368. So I went to Cochon for lunch, and I felt compelled to get a lot more than I would have, because, like I said, I could have stopped at the bread, but you know that would have been extremely distasteful. So. I didn't want to eat a big lunch. So I ordered pork belly with like an apple something on top. It was not a slaw. It was like little chopped up, marinated, sugary kind of apples with a little sauce. Relish. That's the word
relish.
I'm looking for. It was an apple relish. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And it was just one slice of pork belly. I know you love pork belly. And then we got grits.
Over there at that bunch of restaurants, they have always had a taste for
I know.
For pot.
Well, you know why? Yeah. Because it's good, Tom.
Yeah.
I know it's not your thing, but it's really, really good. I mean, look, you have to have a certain amount of affinity for animal fat, I have to tell you, you know.
Yeah,
because that's essentially what it is.
If you have a taste for bacon, it would do you.
Well, it is bacon, but it's much fattier than bacon. I mean, bacon is very thinly sliced, so you don't really, you know, the fat kind of cooks up. But in this case, the fat remains fat. But it was one little slab of pork belly with some apple relish on it. We got butter beans or lima beans, and they were the large kind, which were really good, and grits that came. And I'm sure they were Bellegarde, because they do grits too, and this would be the kind of place where you would get that kind of really hearty, coarse grits.
Bellegarde is being your favorite.
It's my bellwether of everything. It's my barometer of wonderfulness, you know, having to do with any kind of starch, I would say. So we got that and mac and cheese. Oh my gosh. I think we might have a new
We cannot seem to escape this.
Again, I would love to have the webcam to show Tom's face, but for you out there, which would be the 99.9% of you that love mac and cheese, Cochon has an incredible mac and cheese. Up to this point, my favorite mac and cheese, aside from the one that I make, which honestly is not as good as some of these, but up until this point, my winner in that department was brown butter.
Brown butter is something I love.
Fantastic one. I gotta say though, I think this one tops it.
Yeah.
I do. I think it tops it. It was spectacularly good, and And we had a duck and andouille gumbo, which had okra in it.
Hmm. Well, that's a classic there.
Wait,
pretty
have
much.
Okra and duck and andouille gumbo? They're, really?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
I thought okra kind of was in a seafood, and then
yeah, that's pretty much true. But there's nothing that says you can't put
okra
it in there.
In something to thicken it because it's
that's
so.
That's one of the reasons.
Is that right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, this was really great. It had that perfect brown roux to it. It was just fantastic. And so that was it. That was the entirety of the menu on our table, which was really kind of too much for the table. It was a little tiny two-top, but it was delish. And I will be back before long to Koshan. And I just I've just never been all in on Koshan because I thought it was pretty much a, you know, New York Times darling and tourist kind of place. But wow, it was really good. Really good.
Well, I certainly agree with you about that.
Yes.
It was good. It was Cajun, you know, and well put together.
Where is he from? South Louisiana, southwestern Louisiana. I think so.
I'm not
maybe
positive.
Maybe Opelousas or something.
But then he opened up the place over on the corner of St. Charles Avenue, and what's the cross street?
Herb Saint
was the restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And
That wasn't his first, was it? Is it really?
Yeah, that restaurant was the first major new restaurant to open after Hurricane Katrina.
And like open for the first time, you mean, or reopen?
No, in that case, it was a brand new opening.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they bragged on that a lot, and well, they should have, because it was something that people could really relate to. It was fairly inexpensive, and it was...
You know, I've never been there.
You've never been there?
I have never been to Herb Saint.
Well, it doesn't move me a lot.
I've never been there. I've never been to Biona.
Biona I do like because Susan Spicer and I go way back. She was doing what she does, and she was always in the neighborhood, it seemed like. I like bumping into her every now and then.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, 260-6368 is the number. Mm-hmm. Let's see. That's it. That's all I have to report on my lunch, which was excellent.
Yeah.
Absolutely excellent. Looking for anybody who would like to comment about my bread question.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any restaurant in town where you would go for just the bread?
Are biscuits?
Is the bread? Yes, biscuits.
Biscuits count.
Windsor Court cheddar and herb biscuits absolutely do count, for sure. Why? Mm-hmm. Do you have something?
Just it's on my mind because I like a good biscuit.
I do too.
I hate a bad biscuit. Biscuits that just kind of like are falling apart.
There are way more bad things than there are good.
Oh, boo, boo, boo! But on the other hand, that butcher place was solid gold from day one.
Yeah, it is. And it's unbelievably popular.
I know.
Even after all this time, it is unbelievably popular how many people were standing out the line out the door today.
Here's something.
Unbelievable.
This is just completely by coincidence. I have this little card here that was mailed to me by somebody, I don't know who. But it's about Koshan. Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
At Koshan, Chefs Donald
what
Lincoln...
What are they doing?
Well, let's find out. I'm going to read it.
Okay.
I'm sure they wouldn't mind. At Koshan, Chefs Donald Link and Stephen Strijewski reconnect with culinary roots seated in Cajun Southern dishes and regional cuisine. Their guiding philosophy is to produce honest, simple food, showcasing their expertise in all things pork. Today, they have elevated the simple pig... to a glorious hog heaven. That's great, isn't it?
Yes.
That's
pig is
grab something.
I have to say, it is pretty delectable, and really, it's a wonder we haven't decimated the whole population. Last night we had a nice little dinner too.
At
Del Porto.
Yeah, that was a lovely evening.
So Del Porto is a place, first of all, it's, I think, my favorite restaurant in the entire metro area.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hmm.
And it's
very certainly
close
one
to
of
our
mine.
House.
Yep.
And it's totally swell. And they have a great happy hour. So sometimes after the show, we jump in the car and go on in to downtown Covington and have their happy hour, which ends at 6. I thought it was 6:30, but it's 6.
Well, what I had yesterday was just delicious. I mean, starting off.
Who knew that Tom could sign on to the small plates happy hour world?
No, that's I think that's very. That's very, what's the
surprising
word I'm looking for?
Surprising. The surprising. Word is surprising for
but
me.
But I'm looking for something, something elegant. I don't know. The word will come to me within the next 20 minutes.
Well.
If I'm lucky.
Well, as long as we don't have to just sit there waiting for the time to tick away while you do it. They have every day, they have a pizzetta, a little pizza.
Yep.
And it's different. And the first time I went, it was fantastic. But the other couple of times I've gone, I didn't like – it changes every time. And I didn't like what was on it.
Hmm.
But the dough is great. The crust is fantastic. And they have a pizza. They have a pasta. And they have a frito misto every day,
mm-hmm,
with different things in – and on all of those things. And yesterday they had a really great, like, roast potato and sausage pasta. And we're talking about little portions, folks. You know, this happy hour is portions.
I wasn't sure whether it was pasta or, like, a little piece of white meat from something. It was just, but it was delicious. Everything they put on the plate in front of
us. Well, you had mussels, too.
Mussels. You know what got – there was one thing that got me about that. And that is, mussels are so cheap in the marketplace,
yeah,
that to give me, what was it, 8 of them or 12 of them, that's okay. Come on. I mean,
well,
give me a break.
Well, it is happy hour, and it's a little small portion. That's the whole idea for happy hour. So we spent, what, $55 or something? We got,
it wasn't
but
too
we
bad.
Did order the regular white bean puree off the menu, which is just, you have to
Delish.
Get it if you're there. You have
yeah.
to get it.
Yeah, that's.
And so that was the only thing that we actually ordered off the menu. But those little portions are really, really good. And it's an extensive menu for happy hour. It's like 8 different things that you can
mm-hmm.
get. And they're all really good. And so it was a wonderful way to, you know, knock off after the show, you know, just
mm-hmm.
like sit and relax. And and it's so filling. If you get enough of those, they're very filling. So
very much so.
That was dinner, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know who goes in there and does happy hour and then does dinner.
Me neither.
But not us. We did not do that.
No.
260-6368. We are doing our usual, just chatting incessantly about food.
What do you have planned for your for the weekend? I mean, here we are.
Well, we're going to go to Felix's.
We're going to Felix's?
Yes.
When are we doing that?
Felix's on the North Shore opened
yeah.
today.
Oh, did it?
Yep.
No kidding. Out by the lakefront?
Oh,
no. They're in...
In the old Natini's.
The old Natini's.
Mm-hmm. And they've done a full gut on that place, so it will look nothing like anything that was there before. And it'll be interesting because, to me, that space will forever remain Creole,
mm-hmm.
which was its original.
Yeah,
its original.
There have been what, 6, 8?
There have been a lot
different restaurants in that same
More than
building.
A few.
And it was very much attended by people who lived on the North Shore.
Well, it's a great location. It's a nice space, but over the years, it's been a succession of restaurants that pale in comparison to the original, first of all, and had now gotten to the point where, you know, scrap everything and start over again. So that's what Felix's did. Now, I'm not a fan of Felix's particularly, but they did put a lot of money in there. They scrapped everything. They cut it down to the studs and completely redid it in the Felix brand. So we have to go over and see it because they open today, actually.
Oh, is today the deal, huh?
Yes, today is the day that they
well,
threw open
is,
the doors for the first time on the North Shore.
There is one little piece of information about
Felix's?
Felix's.
Yeah.
And it is where I ate my first raw oyster.
Oh, is that right? Really?
Yeah.
Well, how old were you?
I was 19.
You just went in there and decided you were going to do raw oysters?
A couple. I was trying to be a gourmet. And a friend of mine, or some friends of mine, were telling me I couldn't even begin to call myself a gourmet if I didn't eat raw oysters.
Well, that's probably true.
They challenged me on that. I went and I ate them. And then I ate right there.
Ta-da!
Right. Yeah.
Instant gourmet.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.